Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Gets me every time.
Yeah. This meeting is being recorded.
This is David Murphy, publisher of the National Black Unity News. Here we are. We another week.
Hold up, Brian. I'm on.
And if everybody can mute themselves, we would greatly appreciate it. And as always, it is a pleasure, it's an honor, and it's also a privilege to be on this call this evening. You know, in this country, our country, or their country, there's a lot of chaos going on and epidemics and all kinds of toils and things that's taking place. But I'm one who is believes that there's still hope in spite of everything that goes on, because not only because I'm a living example of it, but always when things get dark, you know, there's always light around. And we just had to fight our way through. And see, we are a resilient people. When I'm talking about we, I'm talking about black melanated, black people, African-Americans, Africans with the roots from Africa. And a lot of this time with people saying these are a new norm, or they saying this is a life that we never seen before. But see, a lot of us are accustomed to this lifestyle. It's nothing new to us, and we, you know, we are survivors, and this too shall pass. I really believe that. But I just want to remind, just keep hope alive, ladies and gentlemen, because there is hope. And I just hope you can dig deep, and I just hope that you can get through, because like I say, people are playing power tricks on us. They're doing all sorts of things that are people put up. People don't know where their food is coming from. People don't know if they still gonna have a roof over their head while people are playing games. And so that's why it's so important to have broadcasts like this, to have a publication like the National Black Unity News, because we are a beacon of light. We are a solution-oriented publication, and we have all types of information that can enhance people's quality of life. And we are different from every other newspaper out there because the information that we put in the National Black Unity News is good for today, yesterday, as well as tomorrow. And so we encourage people to get a subscription, have it sent to your home, or you can go online and check us out too. We have a publication coming out at the beginning of the year, which is only a week away. And I encourage you to subscribe. But as always, I would like to introduce you to this gentleman. To some, he don't need no introduction. But for those people who are on Facebook Live, those who are on Blog Talk Radio and our other formats, this brother is a true soldier. He's been around just as long as I have, and I've been around, and he's true to the cause, because he paid his dues, and he still is. He is a true servant of the people, and he had put in plenty of work over the years, and I bear witness to it, and I'm always pleased to introduce this brother Bubba Sitawi Jahi. Mr. Jahi, are you available, sir?
Yes, I am. Has our guest joined us yet?
Yes, she has.
Okay, all right, good.
You want to do your reading? Or
yes, sir. We always open the show up with a reading from Daily Motivations for African American Success by Mr. Dennis Kimbrough, who's also the author of Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Today's reading, December 28th, and also the day is the third day of Kwanzaa, Ujima. Collective work and responsibility to make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and to solve them together. And the person we're about to read about, was one of those people that attempted to do that. Have you earned your X? Power never takes a back step, only in the face of more power. Malcolm X, Pan-Africanist and human rights activist. The above quote is indicative of the sheer magnetism and level of commitment that Malcolm X was known for. Each of us could benefit from developing Malcolm's level of passion as we pursue our goals. Malcolm's little boyhood was one long struggle with poverty and alienation. His father was murdered by vigilantes, and his mother suffered the indignity of life in a mental institution. Life on the streets became the only life he knew. At 17, he hustled in New York, drowning in a sea of crime, drugs, prostitution, and gambling. 3 years later, he was caught and sentenced to 10 years in prison. I was the personification of evil, Malcolm said of his first months in prison. He hurled obscenities at every white in authority and cursed God as much that inmates named him Satan. But it was here that Malcolm was exposed to a growing sect known as the Nation of Islam, who claimed they could turn his life around. This philosophy struck Malcolm like a blinding light, and he mended his ways. For his loyalty and hard work, he was rewarded with the letter X, to symbolize the replacement of his slave name, Little, with the African family name he never knew. From this platform of religious spokesman and newly crowned leader of the hope-filled people, Malcolm's life would come full circle. He had truly earned his X. From an ex-convict to example of an ex-drug addict to personal excellence. Our community could benefit from this example. Black America must earn its X. When it applies, where it applies, we must become ex-drug abusers, ex-dropouts, ex-alcoholics, ex-thieves, and ex-offenders, and cease to offer any excuses of our shortcomings. Instead, we must strive to excel, excite, and exceed, to become exceptional as we examine our values and exclaim them to the world that we expect success and expel any thoughts of poverty or failure. It's time that we earn our X. Today, I will set aside some time to talk to our youth and help them earn their X. And I guess we're about to bring on this, you know, person that has truly earned their X. And what we're going to talk about tonight here on this podcast is how to live a comedic lifestyle. And it gives me great pleasure to be able to introduce our guest. And let me go to her. I don't have a bio in front of me. But anyway, Queen Mother Amaku. If you would, you can go ahead and chime in. And, you know, our topic tonight is how to live a comedic lifestyle. And so I know you're up in Newark, New Jersey, and you have a publication that you put out. And you can tell our listening audience a little bit more about you and how you came into what you're doing.
Barigani.
Fujima.
It's indeed a pleasure for me to be here, and my name is pronounced Imaku, Queen Mother Imaku.
Okay, Queen Mother Imaku.
It means reverent or servant to the divine and to the people in the Kemetic language. Thank you so much for having me on. You know, it was encouraging, first of all, to hear you read the words from Dennis Kimbrough's book, You Can Grow Rich, A Black Choice, which is on my shelf. And it's important for us to hear the empowerment messages that remind us that we are indeed a people with great wealth and that come from great wealth. We are deceiving ourselves about what we have and what we don't have. Because truly, if we were to economically pool our resources or withdraw our resources from places where we are not being shown respect for who we are, then our power would definitely be felt. I can also tell you, in answer to tonight's question, which is a rich question, how to live a comedic lifestyle. You know, I've been comedic for 2.5 decades. Well, and I can say I really committed myself to the path after exploring it for several years in the late 90s, so more than 2 decades. But in the early to mid-90s, I really began exploring because I saw Dr. Ben on a show that was very popular in New York area up here called Like It Is, hosted by the late, great Gil Noble. And Dr. Ben was in Kemet, which was the original name of Egypt, and it was also called Tamera, the beloved land. Kem means black. Kemet means the land of people. Some also say it is the land of the black soil, because when the Haiti or the Nile would flood, it would bring black silt from the bottom of the river in order to, that would enrich the land when the land was irrigated. But anyway, all the exposure that I had had to ancient Egyptians was of being people who did not look like us. Dr. Ben was showing, as he was touring the various popular sites and historic sites of Kemet, that people there originally looked like us, and that a lot had been hidden as time evolved and as it became invaded. And the statuary was changed. You know, there are still statues you can see that are painted over, that underneath have dark hues, you know, black or brown, or they would use dark blue as a way of symbolizing black. But the point is, that woke me up, because, you know, coming out of Christianity, all you heard about Egypt was that it was evil, the evil pharaoh, the evil Egyptians. And I remember when I really started embarking on this journey back when I was 19 years old. I'm 60 years old now. And I was given this book called the, it was a concordance. And it had the translation of all the words from the King James Bible and in the Hebrew and the Greek. And so with starting to do the research with that, I said, well, wait a minute. This changes a lot of the meanings of the scriptures that we were told. Then I was given the lost books of the Bible by a fellow musician. We were working on his gospel album, but he was like, let me hip you to this. And so this explored more about the idea of the stories of Jesus going to Egypt before he began his ministry. So that messed my head up. But it also made me want to understand, well, then if it was so evil, then why would he have gone there? So I embarked on this journey over many years in trying to find out what the truth of that was. And finally, this is after having gone through Buddhism, Taoism. I've been to Baha'i firesides. I mean, Yoruba Ifa, you know, all these different paths. I finally came home to Kemet and everything made sense. And I found that a lot of the miracles that Jesus performed were pretty rudimentary to the priesthood in Kemet. For instance, there are stories that are left behind in the sacred writings about priests who would part the sea. And also stories of being able to conquer the waters and so much more. And then also in finding that the writings that were like Proverbs that you can find in the Bible, that they predated the Bible by thousands of years. The Hebrews lived amongst, well, the people who are known to be Hebrews, but as it goes, but they lived amongst the Kemites, and a lot of their culture came from Kemetic culture. So that meant also a lot of their lore came from Kemetic literature. So what can you do when you're presented with the truth? You know, I mean, you can try to shun it, pretend that you didn't see it, because it doesn't make sense to you because of everything you've been programmed to believe. Or if you are truly on the path to higher consciousness, you can open yourself up and realize, okay, so this was manipulated. The Bible was manipulated. Okay, this was manipulated, and this and this and this. And everything that was said about ancient Kemet was not so. I tell people today, because I belong to a number of interfaith groups, and once in a while, there'll be folks who will start praying and saying, And Lord God, thank you that we're not like the evil Egyptians. You know, usually they'll do this right after I pray, because in interfaith groups, you know, we're asked to do like a round robin so that the different faiths are represented. I'm always the only one representing my faith. But after I come and share lovely sacred comedic scripture, then there would be this clapback, you know. Lord, thank you that you brought us out of Egypt and we're not like the evil Egyptians. Well, you know, aside from having to say, you know, I don't bash your belief. I don't bash your religion. And truthfully, your religion came out of mine. But along with that, though, to put an indictment on an entire people based on the unrighteous behavior of a few, is the same as people who would indict people who live in the United States here because of 45 being in office. You know, you can't, it's not fair to do that, because clearly not everybody here in this country is like 45. So when I put it in that way, then people have a better understanding. Then I also explain, this is what was taken from you. Okay. I remember I was telling this story about when my cousin came to help me move one time. And I had in I usually have one room that's my dedicated spiritual room, like this is, that I'm sitting in. And he walked in and he looked around. He said, "What is you doing with all these heathen gods?" And I said, "These are not heathen gods. This is your culture. This is what was robbed from you, okay? And trust and believe that there are plenty of white people who know your history that was taken from you much better than you and are using the wisdom teachings of our ancestors in order to further themselves and to help keep us oppressed." That caught his attention. And then I started very gently explaining about the different things that he was looking at, you know, like the Tekken that I have back there. This is a Tekken. He said, "Oh, this looks like the Washington Monument." I said, "Exactly. The Tekken came from Kemet, and there were many that were taken from Kemet, and the concept of the Tekken can be seen in cemeteries the world over, but also, yes, in Washington, D.C. And did you know that Washington, D.C.'s layout was based on the layout in Kemetic government? You know, so just little things like that. And then leave it there. And so after that, he started wrapping my things with the greatest of care. The next time he came over, it had been some months later, he came over and he said, I moved, you know, and he came and he said, "Oh, I see you still have all these beautiful statues of our culture." And he started to explain one by one what they meant. He remembered. And he was a staunch Christian, okay? Many of us have these barriers in our minds about our own culture because that's what has been taught to us. Egyptology, ooh, evil, you know. Instead of understanding, all world religions were birthed out of Nile Valley civilization. Instead of understanding that if we lived according to the principles and the concepts, the teachings that came from our ancestors over Egypt, that we would be much better off today. You started talking about Dennis Kimbrough's Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice. Well, in the wisdom teachings of our ancestors, there are writings galore about the importance of living well, building your bank, making sure that you get your stuff in order. Listen, Think and Grow Rich, A Black Choice could easily have been a concept, I mean, a title of a lot of the concepts that came out of ancient Kemet. And so, I mean, the problem is eventually there became a great disparity in wealth where you had people who were ridiculously wealthy and you had people who were ridiculously poor, you know, so there was no parity, even though the principles that we live by the principles of my age, not Ma'at, it's pronounced my age. They teach about living harmoniously, living in balance, living with reciprocity, order, divine love, and justice, and in a society where you are focused on harmoniously living, then that means that everybody eats. That means that no one is in need. That means you don't have hoarding. We have one person who owns all this land and a mansion on it, but then it's just you and your dog. You know, I mean, it's ridiculous. And you've got all these people who are on the streets and have no place to go. That's not parity. And it's not mindfulness about how you can better spend what you do have in order to help your community. And also to take a good look at if what you have is too much. Because our ancestors taught about living well. They taught about building bank, all right? But like right now we're doing my Kemetic ashram, we are doing in Shenu, we are doing our studies on the book of Amenemope. And Amenemope's teachings about abundance took a bit of a turn from the other teachings of abundance that came out of Kemet, like the 20-week series on the teachings or the instructions of Ani, who was a scribe who was giving words of advice to his son about how to live his life. Listen, get yourself together, get the work. And after you build your bank, then find a good wife. After that, then start your family. And make sure that the reason that you are building your abundance is not only so you can live well, but also so that you will have something to leave behind, so that you'll have a righteous inheritance, okay? And then also it gave advice for, okay, so if you have problems with your boss, don't do this, don't do this, do this, this, this. Also, make sure that you worship the God of your town. Get things, your affairs in order in terms of your religious life. Also, make sure you respect the oracle, okay? All these different aspects of how to get your life together. Yeah, how to advance in dealing with nobles, you know, and not to leave the room when nobles enter because you can miss your shot, okay? And then once you've gotten your shot, how not to blow it. Very practical advice. But I was saying, so we went from, in that particular book, the instructions of Ani, or Ani, to where we are now in studying the book of Amenemope. And Amenemope says, yes, live well, okay? But don't let greed be the factor in how you build your abundance, because it's better off for you to be poor and happy than to be ridiculously wealthy and have no character. In this book, it talks about the importance of thinking of the how you are making your money. Yes, make your money, but do it with scruples. Don't be like these other folks. Like, if you were to look at it today, he'd be preaching these words today, because we have people who are focused on making money in all kinds of illegal ways and justifying it because they think that money is happiness. And in the book of Amenemope, it's stressing money does not buy you happiness, okay? What you want is to be able to find joy in what you have. Yes, build your abundance, but do not be obsessed by it, where it ends up compromising your ethics, compromising your scruples, compromising your very soul. And for people who do that, then they need to be shunned, and that they will end up getting theirs in the end. People who rob, cheat, and steal in order to become wealthy, that they will eventually, karma catches up with them. And so, for instance, in the teachings that I just did on Saturday, and we have our Sabbat on Saturday morning, the teachings talked about how you should not move the lines in the field, or you should not rob the widow because of the furrows, okay? And I went through the whole thing about how water was, that there were waterways that were created, trenches that were made to siphon off of the overflow of the Haiti or the Nile, so that everyone's land would get irrigated, you know, whether people had their own private furrows or whether the government had furrows, that people then could siphon off of to make sure that the land got irrigated, okay? But in the book, in this particular chapter, it's talked about people who was skanky enough to try to take somebody else's land, try to take ownership over somebody else's furrow, and how dastardly that was. And it talked about shunning people who did that. See, that's the other thing about today. We, unfortunately, as a society, have not learned to shun those who are doing wrong. Oftentimes, if they return with a good comeback story, even if they end up getting theirs for just a moment, okay, or maybe they get in prison for a little while and then they come out, they know as long as, you know, as long as they build a good comeback story, because we all love a good story, then they'll have another shot. Now, whether they're showing true contrition or not is another thing. The word for contrition, well, there are a couple words for contrition in the Kemetic language. One is isheti, and it means to break. It is contrition, okay? And so that the breaking of that pride that has you in the place where you don't admit that you're messing up, you're living wrong, you weren't being mindful of your neighbor, because at the core of Kemetic living, it is mindfulness and understanding that it's not just about you, that we live here with others. It is not about us just doing for ourselves. But if a person does wrong, they have to really come to a place of contrition. Another word is emchat, which means the eating of the heart. It means to feel remorse. It means to repent. Now, many of us who are in Black consciousness circles don't necessarily like the word repent because we feel like it reminds us too much of Christianity and the concepts that go along with that. But the concept of repenting came out of ancient Kemet, understanding that if you wanted to have true redemption and resurrection of your own soul, you had to come first to a place of contrition. And that means, in first of all, recognizing what you have done wrong. Okay, you know what? I cheated my neighbor and I lied, all right? I was wrong. And then feeling sorrow in the heart for it. And so you go from recognizing it to then feeling it, feeling the impact of what you did, and also seeing the impact of what you did, and knowing that it is not the best of you. And then after that is the transformation of the mind, which is the concept of Keper or Kepri, the scarab beetle, who, if you look at it, it looks like the top of the brain cavity. So, and that it's the top of the skull. And so it represents transformation through the mind. So, in living today, from a Kemetic standpoint, it means, first of all, understanding that you have a responsibility, okay, and that you must be mindful of your neighbor. It also means that you must be an active contributor to society in a positive way. It also means that you recognize you have a responsibility to your family and the legacy that you leave behind. It also means that you conduct yourself in a way that is accountable to me, that is the finger of accountability, okay? And that also is a word for maturity, too. This society encourages us to remain immature, and that is only for the benefit of those who are making money, who do not want for society to move past a middle school mentality. So it encourages us to just stay in this immaturity when that's not what was encouraged in ancient Kemet. In ancient Kemet, maturity, which meant that you were accountable. Someone who was grown up is going to say, I was wrong, and apologize, and then try to fix it. We call it restoring my age, okay, to restore the balance and the order in order to bring things back to a harmonious place. So that's part of being Kemetic. And living by the 42, some call it the 42 precepts, some call it the negative confessions, and that's because That's my 8 o'clock prayer call. I have in my phone. That's another thing. We pray five times a day. That concept came out of ancient Kemet first, and the Arabs were influenced by that when they captured Kemetic priests and servants, and they observed how they cleaned themselves throughout the day, how they prayed five times a day, and so that ended up influencing their culture. But going back to the 42 principles of Ma'at are the very foundation that we stand on. If you claim to be a Kemite and you are not trying to live according to these laws, then you're not really being Kemetic, because this is the ethical core that should be in you, blood and bone. And just to share with you what they are. Now, every temple or Kemetic spiritual organization has their own version of the ancient precepts that they follow. These are the ones that we in Shenu follow, because there were many different versions that were found that all had the same basic foundation. So, in the morning, along with our other prayers, the central thing that we do is the declaration of the 42 principles of Ma'at. And so I begin by praying in the Kemetic language. Yunkherech Ma'at, Dua Ma'at, Sperdi Ma'at Hekechim Herupen. Show yourself Ma'at. Thank you. Bring me your guidance on this day. And then I begin. I will not do wrong. I will not steal. I will not immerse myself in depression. I will not violate another being, physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually. I will not hoard, disrespect, abuse, or misuse the land, nor deprive my loved ones and community of a rightful inheritance. I will not waste precious food. I will not waste precious water. I will not jealously desire to obtain that which is not mine. I will not eavesdrop or pry into matters outside the dictate of Nature. I will not defile or debase my purity. I will not abuse my sexuality. I will not engage in infidelity with another man or woman's mate. I will not engage in sexual fantasies or sexual acts with a child. I will not cause needless terror. I will not be arrogant and egoistic. I will not act with selfish, destructive aggression. I will not cultivate a quarrelsome nature. I will not take a life outside of my age, nor disrespect the life force. That's understanding. Listen, you're not going to let cockroaches run over your house. That's not natural order, okay? You're not going to let somebody just come and break into your house with a gun. That's not natural order. You're going to do what you need to do to restore order and keep order in your house, okay? Reasonably. I will not cause the shedding of tears. I will not sow seeds of regret. I will not mistreat children and will give proper guidance and protection. I will not mistreat animals and will give proper respect. I will not be vengeful and angry except for a just cause within my aid. There is righteous anger, and righteous anger should spur you to do something to change the condition that is causing you to be upset. So righteous anger should bring a positive result. It's not about petty anger. It is about righteousness and wanting to restore righteousness for society and for yourself. I will not be easily incited to action or contention. I will not uphold an untruth on or against someone else's behalf. I will not lie. I will not raise my voice unnecessarily. I will not speak maliciously against another being. I will not exaggerate. I will not talk too much. I will not act with sneaky manipulation. I will not be impatient or judge in haste. I will not entertain impure thoughts. I will not wish evil upon another being. I will not perform negative energy work, meaning petty juju that some folks involve themselves in. There is mysticism, but it is not to be misused. You know, I'm jealous about this person, and so I'm going to make sure that I energetically throw them off. I throw some stuff at them. That's what has also messed us up as a people, because the respect for and the proper use of mysticism is in order to help elevate us. not to deal with petty squabbles. It is to help us to overcome oppression and oppressors, okay, and not turn each other into the enemy simply because of our immaturity. To continue on, I will not turn my ears away from words of truth. I will not desecrate holy places. I will not desecrate holy traditions. I will not steal from or neglect giving to the temple offerings. I will not rob from the deceased. I will not betray my venerated ancestors. I will not blaspheme the Most High Nature. Nature is the word, for lack of a better term, for God or the limitless creator. We believe that God is comprised of male and female, and actually that ancient Kemet was based on matriarchal concepts and also respect for the matrilineal line. Eventually, it devolved into something else with the rise of the patriarchy and with disrespect for women. Now, understand that matriarchy does not mean that women are all in charge and the men go sit down somewhere. No. The concept of matriarchy is that we walk together and work together side by side, okay? And that we have an understanding of family, uplifting the family, respect for the family, understanding our divine roles, you know, and understanding also that we need one another. This is what is in nature, okay? You see male and female. Therefore, we believe that nature is comprised of male and female. Netcheru is the plural. Net means no. Cher means limitation. Cheru is the plural. Netcheru, no limitation. So all of the quote-unquote, for lack of a better term, gods and goddesses are all aspects of nature or nature. You hear that? Nature, nature. It's believed that nature is where the word nature came from. It's also understood that all of these divine principles, the male and female principles of the nature, also reside within us. As we align ourselves with these divine principles and open ourselves to them and open the characteristics of them that are in us, the attributes, that opens us to being limitless. The concepts that you hear today in motivational speaking and all the buzzwords that have come through the so-called New Age movement over the last 40 years are as old as time, and they came out of Nile Valley civilization. So if we tapped into the concept of being limitless, then we would be able to open our own doors. We would overcome the oppressors. And this is one reason why also so much has been hidden from us. And, you know, I shared about in the 42 about not robbing from the deceased. Well, it's painful to go to a museum and see our ancestors' stolen objects. On the one hand, it's very affirming. You see the brilliance of our ancestors and the arts and sciences that have been around for eons and that are even used today to be able to advance technology. But by the same token, you know, even though it's affirming, it's heartbreaking because you know how they got there, because they robbed our ancestors' tombs, which is a desecration. So it shows disrespect for the traditions. It shows disrespect for who was resting in their graves. It shows disrespect for African tradition. Yet, those who stole from the graves and decided who was going to keep what, many of them have them in their private collections. You know, these wealthy folks who stole from our ancestors, they have the sacred writings named after them. And they also, they began their own quote-unquote lodges and so forth based on their understanding, their interpretation or misinterpretation of the ceremony that we created. So now here we have been taught to curse all of these things. We've been taught that these are all evil, but truthfully, there are many who are in the know, even though they may be in the Christian church, once they join, say, Prince Hall, okay, or any of the other Masonic lodges, they get a taste of what really belongs to us. Now, of course, what they're doing in the lodges is still a watered-down version of the Kemetic principles. But still, they become awakened enough to understand that they've been lied to. And then they go on and perpetuate lies in saying that the ancient Egyptians were evil, when they know, once they come into the lodges, that what they're doing is Kemetic. Although, see, when you go to a Catholic church, now let's take us out of the lodges now. Let's talk about mainstream. When you go to a Catholic church, you're basically seeing Kemetic ceremony. The Romans, just before Kemet fell, came and studied with the last of the Kemetic priests. And, you know, when the invasions took place, I want to let you know, historically, yeah, there were priests that were corrupt at the time when Kemet fell. Because through corruption, that's where you start furthering your own interests. And all it takes is just one corrupt person, you know, to allow someone into your secret inner workings. And then the fall began. Okay, you compromise these ethics that I read to you. That's when it started to happen. So during that time, toward the end, when the Romans came in, they sent in their students to go and study with the last of the Kemetic priests. And they ended up killing the last of the Kemetic priests, taking what they understood of the Kemetic spiritual system, and they stuck it in the Vatican. And from there, they created the Catholicism that you see today, the statuary, the prayers. If you go into any Catholic church and if you really study this, then it's easy for you to just sit down and just look around and say, okay, well, that's the shot. Oh, that's Heru. That's, okay, I mean, it's hidden right in plain sight. So this is what I say. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. In fact, it says in Kemetic writings, from the temple of Pacheri, not the temple, the shrine of Pacheri, who was a mayor who had the place where he was buried, he had that built before he died, and he had a lot of writings they left behind on the wall. One of the things that he said was the importance of not mixing up the message with the messenger. There are many things that are left behind that we need to understand, like this tree behind me. This isn't a Christmas tree. This tree is for Heru and Nit and Nut, Seshat, and Yuseaset. They were all the Netrut, or goddesses, who were associated with the tree of life. The tree of life represents nourishment. If you can imagine what it's like to live in an area where there's a lot of sand, and then you're blessed to all of a sudden see trees, that's a blessing because you know that means there's some water nearby. But it also means that you're going to be able to be nourished from the fruits of the tree, from the bark of the tree, the leaves, every aspect of it. And so I have my tree up, and I've been doing this for years. On the top there, I created my version of Heru, who the Greeks called Hathor, which would be Hathor. And I have Ankhs on the tree, or Ankhu. I have little pyramids, Melkut, okay? I have canes. I have candy canes because that represents the Hekek. You know, we have the neck and the hek the crook and the flail. You know, I have cowrie shells on it to represent abundance. You know, they're all sacred symbols. The ribbon that runs through that is associated with Hathor and the seven Hathors or Heterus. And, you know, so there's meaning behind everything on there. People are so excited to find out that it's okay to have a tree, okay? And so we should not automatically say, oh, that's European. Well, no, check the source. Check the source. At the winter solstice, it was not uncommon for Kemite or Kemamu, the people of Kemet, to get a bough from a tree or a bush, bring it inside and decorate it because it represented the life force of Re. And at the solstice, it was about the coming of the sun and the dawning of a new time. So I have videos on this. You go to YouTube, okay? I cover this stuff in my book. I've been reading from my book. You mentioned a publication. This is my book. It's in download form right now. My new one's going to be coming out with, you know, fully expanded with even more and with a different cover and title. But this is Kesu Dwau Meni, the Shenu Kemetic Daily Prayer Ritual. And so I cover a lot in this about the crossovers. I have a section, a vocabulary section, several pages, vital vocabulary words that also show how some of the words are connected to or predated words that were in Hebrew, in Sanskrit, you know. So just like Bareka, and I have the pronunciation for it, Bareka, to bless, gifts, and compare this word to the Arabic and Swahili Barak, okay? Yahweh, God of gifts, compared to the Hebrew Yahweh. Yahweh was another name also for Heru, the son of Wasir or Asar, who the Greeks called Osiris, okay? It's important to understand the origins. I did a study on the, I'm looking for my deck here. I did a study where I found that what the Europeans called runes actually came out of the Nile Valley. And I traced every single symbol back to Kemet. I got death threats from European pagans who told me to get my black hands off of their god, Odin. And I was just an Afrocentrist. And they were, you know, they were sick of Afrocentrists trying to claim everything, you know, no, but you know, and there were even brothers, there were these brothers who were poo-pooing me and saying, ah, you know, that's just some European stuff, you know, why would you bother with that? And now they're acknowledging, yes, that these symbols actually came out of Kemet, and so. It's about really delving in, okay, and having a deeper understanding. Just in the same way years ago, I wanted to know, well, wait a minute. If Jesus started his ministry, Jesus, Yeshua, whatever you want to call him, you know, if he started his ministry, if he went to Kemet to study first before he started his ministry, then doesn't that mean that there was something there? So, I mean, everything in this room has a meaning. I did research to find out the names that we should use for the Eritu or the chakras and find that the concept is much deeper than is talked about in relation to what is taught today with meditation and yoga. Also with the yoga, I've done deeper research to correlate the poses to ancient poses that were in the Medinet or the hieroglyphs, as we call them.
Yes, Yes, Queen Mother, you know, before we run out of time, I just want to interject because maybe some of the people may want to ask you some questions. Mm-hmm. And I'm sorry to interrupt you, but, you know, because time is of the most essence.
I was waiting for you to jump in.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question now. This is from me personally. You know, there was a time in my life when I think it's a time to come to everyone's life where they seek outside of themselves. There has to be more to me than just me.
Yes.
Where do I come from? Why am I here? And some of us go on these quests seeking. Now, I myself had no clue because, see, I came from an area where I had a sister, older sister. She was a Muslim. And she told me the things of the Muslim faith, and she was sincere, very sincere. Then I had the Christian, you know, had people in the neighborhood and everything would come up to me and would tell me about the Christian life and I had Jehovah's Witness everywhere I go. I mean, every time I turned to see when I was sick and people were showing up. And I was in a circle of all of these different people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a somewhat of a level of respect for each one of these people. And they all seemed to be so sincere. Mm-hmm. I mean, they was coming, you know, and so all it did was left me in a state of confusion. And so I didn't know. So I go to by myself and I just reach out to God. And I said, if there is a God, because I wasn't sure, because like I said, I was seeking. And mm-hmm. I like to keep it real, you know, come in, and, you know, most of them said you had to come in honesty and in truth.
Yes.
You know, if you don't know, you know, you got to ask somebody, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I said, God, if you are God, I said, I'm seeking, you know, I don't know. Like I say, I just want to be a servant. I want to serve. I want to, you know, I just was seeking something greater than I.
Mm-hmm.
And it was somewhat now it may have been laziness on my part because I did like something similar to you. I started picking up the Quran, I started reading this, and I started reading all of these various books. And a lot of them had great positive information in them.
Absolutely.
But they all kind of break away at certain points. Where how they worship and their foundations, you know, it came to a point. But I'm a publisher, I'm a printer by trade. I put together newspapers. Now, see, the average person on here and the average person in the world would never go as deep, except for another publisher, about the newspaper business, about the paper, about this, about that. And then you have to dig deep. You know, everybody else just look at the paper and they just sniff through it. You know, just read.
I understand. You know,
yeah.
I was calling for a couple of black newspapers. I
yeah, I was reading your bio. But you took a level. You dug so deep. And so, like I said, and anything other people do, if they dig deep enough, they will find there's a surface under another surface. And you go a little further, there's something. Where did that come? And it just takes you on a journey. And I commend you for going that deep. You know,
thank
if you,
you
took the time
you.
And you're still seeking and you're still searching and you're still studying.
Every day.
And for those, like I say, people, you know, like I say, our listeners know they come from all walks of life, and, you know, and I understand the truth will set you free. Now, I have wished, and I still, like I say, I'm going to be honest, sometimes I am in a state of confusion because that's why I go directly to God myself and say, because I don't know.
That's the best thing to do.
You know, seek.
Mm-hmm. Well, first, yeah, go to the source. Go mm-hmm. to the source. And then ask for confirmation. But then ask people in the same way that you did, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to understand, I'm not knocking other people's belief systems, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Because truthfully, being comedic now has brought me back to a level of respect and understanding for all the other paths because of the fact that they're all birthed out of Kemet. But also, I've learned that everybody is where they're at for a reason, okay? I was just saying the other day, don't knock. You know, if you're in so-called consciousness, don't knock your relative who might be a holy roller now. It may
mm-hmm.
keep them from knocking you in the head, okay? This may be the thing that's keeping them sane and that's bringing them to a higher place, okay? We're all where we're at for a reason. The only thing I ask is for people to respect where I am,
right,
same way I can give respect to where you are. That's all I ask. We don't proselytize, okay? And you know, we in the Christian church, we used to call it Jesus jamming, okay? When you were just shoving the gospel down people's throats,
yes,
to talk about getting
off. Say, beating you over there with the Bible.
Right. Right. So we don't do that. I tell people that the best thing you can do is live your life to the best degree that you can, with humility, with knowledge. You know, the other thing about the Book of Amenemope is it's talking about the silent man who is the Geru. Geru means the silent man who has discernment, or the silent person with discernment, the guru, Geru, or the guru, you see. And if you are just exuding something that makes people wonder, what are you doing? What do you believe? What are you practicing? You just always seem so peaceful, or you just seem like things don't bother you, you know? When I first started with one of the interfaith groups, they didn't know what to do with me, and I just sat in the back and was quiet. I never tried to push my beliefs on anybody. They just noticed that. Eventually, they noticed, hey, Queen Mother always shows up. She's a nice person. She volunteers, and she's got a positive attitude. Eventually, they started asking me, well, what exactly is it you believe? You know, let me just say also, you know, we're at this time for Kwanzaa. Dr. Molana Karenga, who was credited with being the founder of Kwanzaa, there is a Queen Mother whose name escapes me at the moment, who also furthered Kwanzaa around the world. But Dr. Molana Karenga has this book called The Hosea. It is an excellent crossover companion for people who are trying to learn more about the Kemetic faith, but he has selected writings from our sages. And he demonstrates that the writings that are so familiar to people from the Bible and terms that are familiar actually came from Kemet. Did you know that the term savior, there was a savior, the term the savior used from male and female. Nechem means to save, to deliver. Nechemetewit was a female savior, okay? Shed was the male. Shedi, okay? Shedi or Shedi. El Shaddai, okay? But in here he talks about Amun Ra as the savior, as it was written. It's rich. It's rich, not only for the wisdom writings, but also because of the fact that it's so very clear of the high moral character, and also the importance of eloquence. There's a story of the eloquent peasant that's in here, being able to present your case in a way that is calm, firm, reasonable, and without being a fool, okay?
Let me ask you this question too. You know, like I said, you came from the Christian faith. I heard you mention that, and when you start digging a little deeper and deeper, and so when I listen to you, it's more like listening to a historian. You know. Yeah, and because like I say, you go to levels, and I've been in great conversations with people, consider themselves conscious people, and they get into these great debates about this, that, where they're rich, you know. But I don't, you know, like
I'm not no respecter of person myself.
I don't, you know, get into all of them things too, because some things, you know, it's something, like I said, you never know the research that one has done. And then, like I say, when a person believes, they just believe, you know. Like I say, some people can pick up something and for some reason will believe in this and will even kill over it, die for it. And so, you know, so I don't really question that, because I don't know where that person's been or what their experiences have been.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know one thing, though. For a person to dig, to seek, to search out, and would take that time, energy, and to go to certain greater level, something is pulling them, something is guiding them, something is calling them to that area where you know, you can't let it go, because it won't let you go.
It won't. It will not. I do research every day, and each day I discover something new. And I've been at this a long, long time. And I am just as excited today as when I first started on my journey years ago, because our ancestors left so much behind. So much.
Well, if that be the case, and I'm so glad that you took up the banner, and not only are you teaching on it, you're actually educating people, because there's a lot of people. Like I say, I can include myself sometimes. You know, we are pulled here and there. You know, some of us have to go to this road, and some take that road. But that old, it's a saying, I guess I always heard, you have to know where you've been to know where you're going.
That's right. Yes.
And I appreciate, because see, God, from my perspective, God, he puts people in certain levels. And so when you really want to seek, if you really want to find out truth, then there are people or places or books or things that's left behind that you can seek the truth. And like you said, some say it will make us free. And a lot of stuff, and we know, as Africans in this country and throughout the diaspora, we have been sold a real big, good, a bunch of you know what. I don't, you know, we know that.
Yeah.
Even to this day, we are being taught this and that that had really no relevance to us.
Yeah.
You know, and so mm-hmm. I commend you on that. But I just want to open up, because we don't have that much time left. If anybody who's on the call with us or on Facebook or Brother Satavi or we have a panel of people here, if you have any questions for Queen Mother, this is the time to do so. Unmute yourselves. And remember, we like to keep it real here. You know, we can be agreeable without being disagreeable, but at the same time, you know, for me personally, I have a great level of respect, because like I said, when I know somebody who dig that deep and continue to dig that, I know that, you know, it's a real thing, because I dig a certain area, and they say, recognize, I don't care, that ain't right, that's just something I just said, I understand. Anybody?
And if I may, and I just want to say this very quickly, because many of us have our different interpretations of the Kemetic legacy, as we call it, and our different practices. I teach based on my experiences and the research I've done, what has been passed down to me from Maya Tefnichu, my godfather, Grandmaster Cam, from the Shrine of Kepra in Brooklyn, may he rest in peace. And then also from the metaphysical church that I attended that really opened the door for me to really go and dig even deeper. I have to say, please understand this. Our ancestors frowned on public debate. They frowned upon spectacle, especially if it's going to be at the expense of our people. That is not the Kemetic way. It's not. And so I just want to make sure everybody understands that, because if you're really doing your best to live according to the code of ethics that has been laid before you, you realize it is important to carry yourself with dignity, with class, with honesty, decorum, but also remembering that you do not want to do anything that's going to pull you down, so that we end up being a show for others to sit back with the popcorn and watching us go at each other's throats. That's not acceptable.
Hey,
let me reach out to my listening audience, Dave. We have two callers on Blog Talk. I believe one is Mr. Michael Thomas and the other is Brother Allen, Eric Allen. Do y'all have any questions for the Queen Mother?
Yes, listening to the expressions, and I'm 7 years above six decades, and so I have grown to become problem solution oriented, to the extent that once I hear the problem one time, I don't need to hear it anymore. I want to hear about the solution. I want to hear about the execution of the solution. I want to hear about the chief administrative mechanism of the solution. I want to hear about the central processing unit of the solution, because we've heard the same problem over and over. And being 7 years above six decades, I don't need to hear the problems anymore. I need to hear the solutions, become active in the solutions, and not so much to identify the thousands of problems, but to pick up one major problem and solve it, and pick up the next major problem and solve it, and pick up the next major problem and solve it like that. So as Brother Murphy and Brother Jahi understand about me, my comprehension is delivering housing to every desiring person in the country, you know, or worldwide, incidentally, without any rent, mortgage, car payments, or debt, to pay two essential things, housing and transportation, with no rent, mortgage, car payments, or debt to pay. Now, there's a substantial mind conditioning required to make a person comprehend, how do you think I can get a house and a car with no rent, mortgage to pay? I only comprehend a landlord-tenant relationship. So the huge job of the scholar explaining to the ignorant worshipers, this is reality. I know what to do. I'm the scholar. I'm the aircraft pilot. We don't have to believe that we can fly anymore. I'm the pilot. Get on the plane with me. I'm the scholar. I know how to get the house and the car, truck, van, SUV with no rent, mortgage, car payments to pay. Essential things related to our heritage as relates to our income, as relates to the dissension of the property and the value of the property that we've inherited that's passed off year after year, to the extent that Dr. Claude Anderson in his Power of Nomics book says that we only own 0.5% of the wealth in this country for the last 150 years, decade after decade, year after year after year.
My brother.
0.5% of the wealth. That's it.
My brother, thank you for sharing that. Let me say that I started out by talking about fact that we have so much that we have to offer each other. And the idea, let me just say this. I'm not just a scholar. In fact, yesterday was my 21st anniversary in being an ordained minister. And I am also a high priestess. And I did not give myself this title of Queen Mother. This was conferred upon me by my Atef Nature for my activism and my concern with working with the youth. This is what I talk about all the time. There are people who are using this religion or this way of life as a way of hiding in the temple. I don't believe that. And these teachings don't tell them. I just came from doing food distribution. Our ministry has a food distribution program that I'm committed to every week, okay? And I'm an activist. I'm involved in, good Lord, a member of the People's Organization for Progress, and a number of other groups where we are about getting things done on a number of different levels, okay? So it is about rolling up your sleeve and getting involved. The truly awakened person is not going to sit and pontificate. Although scholars, we have our places. But for those of us who are also ministers, because priesthood is ministry, okay? It's not a costume parade. It's not about getting people to bow and scrape to you, okay? The higher up you go in title, the more work is required of you. And so for people who are not out here in the trenches, if I can't have a conversation with you, you claim to be a leader, and you're hiding in the temple because you're afraid, okay, to put yourself on the front line. You're afraid to get involved. Listen, we won't go into the whole thing about the pandemic, you know, all the controversy around that. Whatever the case, I'm putting myself on the line every single week in doing this food program. You know, I've been going and feeding people at our neighbors with no addresses over at the train station. You know, I mean, and those of us who are really doing the work, that's where we live. Because this world is not going to change. Our people are not going to heal unless we are actively engaged in creating change, okay? I talked about righteous anger and how righteous anger should drive you to doing something positive, all right? I'm not one of these people who just sits back and talks because I want to know the solution too. And the first question is, what must I do? What do I need to do? How can I help? Okay, and making sure that I follow through with that in doing that, okay? Last week we were here. There was a whole gymnasium full of us packing up food, for the mayor's office. Our mayor is the illustrious Roste Baraka. I love my mayor, okay? He's the son of Amiri Baraka, and he is for the people. He is truly for the people. And so whether you believe in Thanksgiving or not, people still, you know, needed food. So a whole room full of us, they're packing. I'm in my sweats and my suits, you know, packing up stuff. That's where I live, and that's what I say, okay?
Thanks for all the work that you all are doing. Thanks for all the work that you all are doing.
Newark.
Hey,
I'm the only Semite there. Well, no, there were two. There was a young couple there last week, which made me so happy. Because in all these years, I show up to these things, and I'm always the only one.
Hey,
I would like to get that brother's information.
Brother Thomas?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the one who was on the radio program.
Okay, well, he, I don't know if he's still on there, but Brother Satai,
I am. I'm here. Yes, I am the originator of the.
Well, can you put it, because of the time, say, can you put it into the, type it into the chat so Bernie can get it, your information? He's on Broad Talk, isn't he? Yeah, well, Brother Satabi, can you get the information to Brother Vernon for us, please, because of time's sake?
Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir. Thank
and
you,
get
Vernon.
Get back in contact with me in real life.
Okay. Sure. Anybody else before we close out? My group tonight. Hello. Okay. All right.
Hello.
Brother Satabi, you got it.
All right. I want to thank our guests. For all of the enlightening information that she shared. And again, one thing that's very important to remember, she said, is that debates are not encouraged because, you know, our ancestors frowned upon us doing public debates. And a lot of times people say, well, why don't you debate them on that? You know, I was like, I don't debate people. You know, I lecture to people. I teach. But, you know, it's like when you – And again, I just want to thank her for all the information that she shared. And Vernon, put your email address in the chat, and I'll make sure I forward you Brother Thomas's information via email.
Okay.
I just want to say this, too, in closing. I appreciate you for you coming on to the show. But I do know there's a reason for everything. And I know this. People, I'm talking about black people right now, not only here in the United States, but throughout the diaspora. I always say, especially here in America, when America get a pinch, we get a punch. And we in dire straits right now. And we have to make change. Changes have to take place. You know, we can't go by the same old things we used to do. We have to make some concrete change, not only within our own selves, but collectively. You know, we can't stand back on the aisle and just look out for me, myself, and I. You know, and I do believe, I have no doubt that I believe the truth will make you free. You know, and it's difficult. I know it's extremely difficult to look at yourself. And if you spend 30, 40, 50 years doing the same thing over and over again, you get so accustomed to it, it's hard to change. But change can take place. Because we are changing. See, if you don't change yourself, conditions around you will make you change sometimes. You see people doing things they never done before or going through situations they never had experienced before. Because God is still in control. And sometimes those of us who are on this call right now may be going through something. And the same old thing ain't been working because we've been going around this mountain for 40 years. You know, we keep running through the same thing. And nothing's changing. And then I believe that times that God sends you people, whether you want to listen or not, it's time to wake up. And God himself tells you, he says, seek truth. Truth, seek it. And you have to do that for yourself. But I do know one thing. When you start going on the journey to seeking it, it'll show up. But you have to make the conscious decision to go forth. And I appreciate your sister. I would like to have a conversation with you afterwards, if that's possible, because I believe that we have some work to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And Brother Satavi, again, I appreciate you, sir. And to our guests, our editors with the National Black Unity News, you know I appreciate you. And we are doing a great work as well. And, you know, and we've been the people that's, you know, Mother Queen, let me just say this, you know, like the people in the National Black Unity News, from my perspective, that only God could assemble. I never met so many groups of people, 25, 30 of them, different people come from different walks, have come together for the sole purpose of uplifting us through this publication. And they pour out their blood, sweat, and tears. Not only that, and they put their money up to you. We're the only publication I know is self-sufficient. We take care of our own. You know, we don't ask for nobody, and we're not kept by anybody. You know, nobody can tell us we can't do this and we can't do that, because we take care of our own needs. And I always believe that we have everything we need. That's why I believe that you are extremely so important. Because if people really want to find, they ain't got to go through all the things that you had to go through to find out information. That you can go, they can go straight to you. You can get rid of some of the stumbling blocks that you had to go through some of the time to dig that deep. You know, that's the beauty about things. You know, that's the beauty about the internet. You know, you can put information out there and you can find stuff. You know, you may not get the truth all the time, but you know, you have access to information. And that's the most important thing, having access. And so ask, if you don't know, ask. If you're just curious, still ask. You'd be surprised what you might find. And but thank you, sister. I appreciate you so much. And matter of fact, I just wanted to congratulate you for your installment as an elder, a nationwide elder, because I too am an elder here in Maryland, you know, Council of Elders. And, and as elders, and there's a lot of elders on the call with us right now, you know, that we do because we have experience. Some of us have gained knowledge over the years. And I say one of the worst things in the world that we can do is carry this to our grave. The worst thing we can do. We have so much people, mm-hmm. so many people in need of the information that we have. And so we have to, that's one of the points of the National Black Unity News, because we want to get that information out. And so thank you, sister. Thank you, guests. Thank you, people on Facebook, Blog Talk. And with that being said, sister, anything in closing before we depart?
Well, I would like to thank you for having me, and this has been wonderful. Anytime that we have a chance to come together and to share information for the enrichment of and for the liberation of our people, then it is always a joy. And just very quickly, since you had mentioned about the installment yesterday, all praises to Brother Mwalimu Kabalia, who is the founder of the National Black Council of Elders, and his reaching out to the African-American elders of Wichita, which is a very tight group of elders, and, you know, to help them with the process of putting together the National Black Council of Elders and also with our installment ceremony yesterday. For people who have any kind of questions about how they can contact me, or if they're interested in getting my book, or any of the other spiritual related products that I've created, then you can go to my website at Queen Mother Imaku. That's I-M as in Mary, AKHU.com. If you'd like to find out more about my spiritual organization, which is Shenu Kemetic Ashram Online, then you can go to Shenu, S-H-E-N-U, ashram.org. You'll see the Kemetic, the actual Kemetic name for that. Again, I want to say thank you and many, many blessings to you for this upcoming season. And as we go into 2021, we have had the year of clear vision, and now we are marching forth with our oracle message for the year for self-mastery. So let us stay focused on our intent as a people in moving forward, and also helping our healing process for those of us who've lost loved ones. My mother transitioned this year from COVID, and so there are so many of us who are in a process of healing. Let us help one another to heal. And as it says in the book of Ankshashanki, may I know my brothers and sisters that I may share with them. Let us remember that we don't live here alone and that we must work with each other.
That's right. I can, like to say thank you so much. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to bid you good evening. And we'll be back here next week, same time, 7:30 p.m. Okay, thank you. Take care. God bless.
Thanks,
and
everyone.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, everyone. Have a new year.
Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Mm-hmm.